In Matt Spann's discussion of the holy mysteries of the church, he clearly has difficulty in comprehending the holy mysteries. Perhaps if so many of our people hadn't determined to try to reshape the theology of the holy mysteries so that it would be compatible with Roman Catholicism, it wouldn't have had such difficulty. I would have difficulty comprehending what has been written in so many textbooks. Once we adopt the idea of seven sacraments, it is inevitable that we're going to absorb Roman Catholic sacramentology. And then the sacraments are going to be reduced down to magic. And that is exactly how Matt Spann understands it. But small wonder, because that's the way it's expressed in so many of our catechisms and in so many of the books being written about it. It's not simply chrismation as a ritual that gives us the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. The grace of the Holy Spirit comes through the Holy Spirit. And the anointing with chrismation is not simply a ritual. It's an act of the body of Christ, an act of the whole church itself. And when we understand that the priesthood belongs to Christ and to Christ only, but that those of us who are ordained to it, the bishops first and foremost, are visibly fulfilling the priesthood of Jesus Christ in the church. Not our own priesthood, but the priesthood of Jesus Christ. This is why there are the royal priesthood who are not ordained and fulfill a kind of priesthood of the body of Christ, and why we have this especially ordained clergy who are ordained to visibly fulfill the priesthood of Jesus Christ in the church. But it's still the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So we cannot speak of the holy mysteries of the church as simply rituals that visibly represent the invisible divine grace. The prayers of faith of the church accomplish the holy mysteries. And when we speak of the holy mysteries and we see, for example, one of the writers that he quotes saying that baptism, chrismation, penance, and communion are the only ones necessary for salvation, and they're personally necessary, necessary for the individual. First of all, I don't recall ever coming across in the Holy Fathers or in the really tradition of the church that there is a sacrament of holy punishment or a sacrament of holy God getting even with us, which is essentially what penance is indicating. The mystery of repentance, where a man is reconciled or a woman is reconciled together with God through a genuine being sorry for their sins and determination to change the course and direction of their life. This is the mystery of holy repentance. And confession, of course, is a part of that mystery because confession is the help given to us through advice, through guidance, through prayer, to help heal us and to help bring us to a full and true repentance and a full awareness of God's forgiveness for us. And penance indicates that we're going to have to pay off a debt, and that only by paying off the debt do we receive forgiveness or divine grace. Divine grace is exactly what it says it is, a free gift of God. This is why in Slavonic, the word for grace is blagodat, the good gift. But a gift is a gift. It's not something we purchase or buy. Now, the reason that not everyone receives grace equally is because not everyone is a vessel strong enough to contain the fullness of it. So grace is given to us through the ministry of the body of Christ, through the ministry of the church, with the ordained clergy fulfilling Christ's priesthood in it. And we cannot say, as Matt Spann does, that they're empty rituals, nor can we say, as many of the catechisms do, that it's accomplished by saying the right words. Or at least that's what many of the catechisms indicate, that it's a series of magic words which accomplishes this deed. It is the ministrations of the priesthood of Christ and of the royal priesthood of the Holy Church, the body of Christ, the head and the body coming together to fulfill. The divine energies, which of course Matt Spann is unable to understand it because he doesn't have a translation of the scripture where the word energies is used, where it's actually used in the scripture, nor would in the tradition upon which they base their interpretations, nor would they find an explanation of the divine energies. So putting aside the fact that Mr. Spann simply doesn't understand the meaning of what we're saying when we're talking about the transmission of divine energies, that every act of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, healing, blessing, sanctifying, every act of God's grace, which remits our sins, which receives us back in repentance, which sanctifies, which blesses, which consecrates, which uplifts, which fulfills, all of these things are given to us. We describe them as the energies of God which come into our lives and do these things. Every sanctification, every blessing which God bestows upon us, he bestows in the form of his divine energies. We can call it grace or energies, either one, whichever we wish. Nevertheless, divine grace is some profound, personal reaching down and touching of God himself in his divine energies. Because we cannot know the essence of God, we have a very profound and close personal relationship with our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we have that from the whole Godhead through the divine energies which are poured forth upon us to heal, to sanctify, to bless, to consecrate, to fulfill, to give fullness and completeness to everything that we undertake in as the salvation of our souls, in the ministry of the gospel, and in our daily ministry and living as Orthodox Christians and members of the royal priesthood of the body of Christ.